We're going to change directions a little bit in our series this morning. From today forward, we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts for a while. Now, with that said, this morning we're not going to look at spiritual gifts per se, but we are going to establish a foundation of using our spiritual gifts. You say, Jim, what's a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift, per the Bible, and we'll get to that in the weeks ahead, is a gift that the Holy Spirit of God has given you uniquely as you have trusted Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit has gifted you with a unique ability, a gift, a talent, strength, whatever you want to call it, to be used to glorify God when you've trusted Christ as Lord. And so we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts for some weeks, I don't know how long, but for a while. The Bible really has quite a bit to say about spiritual gifts. And so I want to spend some time going over this topic and these gifts so that we might better be used by God by using our gifts to bring glory to Him. That's why we have a spiritual gift, by the way. And to be more united in the church and to bring strengthening to the body. That's why He has blessed us with a gift. Every believer, follower of Jesus Christ, has a gift. And I mentioned to the group this morning earlier, I've read through the Bible a number of times. And I've read through it in a number of translations, and yet have I found the word retirement in the Bible. You still with me? Yet have I found the word that, Jim, you get to retire your spiritual giftedness in the Bible. Now, we may change occupations, and we may slow down from what we have done for decades, but no place have I found in the Bible that you are too old, Jim. You can retire now from your spiritual giftedness. No place have I found that. Have any of you found that yet? I didn't think so. And so when I talk about spiritual giftedness, friends, we're not too old to use our gifts, whatever that may be. I am so blessed by when I come here on Wana night and see people that are, well, let's say older than I am. Let's say beyond what they could be retiring. Still here using their gifts with children. And that's what I'm talking about. When God has blessed us with a spiritual gift, it may change from when we're a younger person to an older person, but the Spirit of God has given you a unique gift to be used to glorify God, regardless of our age, young or old. And so quite simply, I guess we retire from kingdom work when we receive our promotion to glory. That's when we retire from kingdom work. When we receive our promotion to glory, because we pass from this life to the next. And so with that in mind, may we embark on this journey about spiritual gifts together that helps us do a number of things, I hope. Number one, I hope we can define our spiritual gifts. There are a number of ways to do that. Somebody might say to you, you are really good at that. I think you should exercise that gift a little more, because that might be what God has blessed you with. Or sometimes people take assessments. We have those. We have those here. There are many, many assessments to help us define what do we like to do? What are we good at? What is a natural tendency for us? So we're going to try over the next few weeks, several weeks, to define our spiritual gifts. Number two, we are going to, over the next several weeks and beyond, find opportunities to use those spiritual gifts. Did you know that it may not be in the church that your spiritual gift gets used? You knew that, right? It may be someplace else. It may be in the factory or on the farm or in school depending on your gift. It may be in the care center or it may be in the hospital. But your spiritual giftedness can and may and should be used other than just the four walls of the church. And so we're going to find opportunities to use our spiritual gifts. Number three, we're going to combine these gifts that God has blessed the church. This is a unique body, somewhat different than the next church or the next because we're unique individuals, but blessed with His gifts. And so we're going to combine those gifts with the rest of this body to be a Holy Spirit force in these communities where we live. After all, that is precisely why He blesses us with a spiritual gift, to bring glory to God and to be a movement, if you will, for Jesus in our communities. And number four, maybe even we'll have an opportunity to help someone else with their spiritual gifts and when and where they could be utilized. Maybe we'll be able to do that too as we go through this journey. And so today, even though we're not going to look at specific gifts, we are going to look at John 15. And so if you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, we're going to be in John 15. Most of you know this scripture very, very well. But the reason I want to start this spiritual gift journey with this scripture is because Jesus' words calls His followers to be fruit bearers. You still with me? He calls His followers to produce fruit. Spiritual gifts, fruit, whatever you want to call it. And so that's why we're going to start on this spiritual gifts journey in John 15 today. And I'm going to read only the first 8 verses. I will leave out just a couple. You can read them. I'm reading these particular ones out of the 8 because they accentuate the positive. There are a couple that accentuate the negative in here. You can read them because they're in your word. John 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, I'm going to explain all this to you. In case this looks like Greek to you, I'm going to explain all this to you, so bear with me for just a few minutes. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So far we've got Jesus, we've got God, we've got followers of Jesus, we've got followers of Jesus producing fruit, all in this first statement. You see, friends, bearing fruit is what Christ followers do. We can agree out of that, can we? Bearing fruit is what Christ followers do. Now, you've already heard me say we all have unique talents and unique gifts, and we're not all going to do the same thing. But we are called by Christ as Christ's followers to bear fruit for the glory of God. Verse 4. Abide, Jesus said. Abide in me and I in you. You know what abide means? Do you get your arms around that? It's like you can look at the tree standing right out here. The branch must be connected solidly to the trunk to produce anything. That connectional, that relational, that grafted in, if you will. Jesus says, abide in me. Stay connected to me, followers of Jesus. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So he's saying quite simply, unless we're connected solidly to Christ the vine, we can't produce fruit for his kingdom. Verse 5 kind of reiterates, what 4 says. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done. By this my Father is glorified. How? This is the crux of the whole matter. By this, he says, my Father is glorified. How? That you, branches, men and women of God, grafted into the vine, who is Jesus. This brings glory to God, that you, he says, bear much fruit. That's what brings glory to God. Individual people, men and women, boys and girls, that are endowed with a spiritual gift, a spiritual blessing, if you will, who have trusted Christ, working together to bring, using our gifts to bear fruit, to bring glory to God. Now let me break down these principles a little bit. I know that you know them, but in case you're not completely clear on them, let me break them down just a little bit. There are several principles in these few verses, in this analogy of a grapevine and fruit and branches and gardeners and all that stuff. Number one, Jesus is the vine. Okay? You can read through your Bible and you can read that I am the vine. You might say, well, what's that mean? It means Jesus is the vine. In this story he's telling, Jesus said, I am the vine. God is the gardener. You know what the gardener does to the vine? The gardener takes care. He prunes, he cuts back, he trims, he molds, he shapes, he fashions. That's what he's talking about. Jesus said, I am the vine. My Father is the pruner, the shaper of our lives, the gardener, if you will. Number two, branches are Jesus' followers. Expected, I might add, per these verses, to produce something for the kingdom of God because we've been grafted in to the vine and we live off, if you will, that life-giving sustenance from the vine. Branches are people, followers of Christ, expected to produce fruit. Number three, branches cannot, Jesus said, bear kingdom fruit if they are not attached solidly to the vine. Simply put, Jesus said, apart from me, you can't do anything. And so if we're ever going to produce kingdom fruit, which Jesus expects of his followers, we must be grafted into the vine. We must have placed our faith and trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Surrendered ourselves, abandoned ourselves to him. Grafted into the vine. It's the only way we will produce fruit. Number four. God, the gardener, will prune. He will encourage you. He will shape you. He will mold you. Sometimes he will chasten us. But God, the gardener, will prune and discipline and guide and encourage the growth process of the branches, which is the followers of Christ. Why? So that we produce fruit for the kingdom. You start to see this little analogy of a vine and grapes and branches starts to take on a different meaning when you start to see the definitions of these, doesn't it? And lastly, God is glorified when Christ followers are producing much fruit. Hear me now, friends. When we have trusted Christ as Lord, when we have come to that realization, regardless of age, if we're 9 or 89, when we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord, we have an obligation per Jesus, per this story in John 15, to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. You say, well, Jim, what's fruit? Well, we're going to talk about fruit in a lot of different ways. We're going to talk about fruit in very, very briefly today, and more extensively in the gifts later. But what is fruit? Quite simply, it could start with the fruit of the Spirit. Our young folks in Awana are memorizing them, aren't they, Charlie? Our young people in Awana are memorizing the fruit of the Spirit. And I would venture a guess that our kids in Awana know the fruits of the Spirit better than most adults. Anybody care to bet me on that? I'm not a betting person. But they can recite them. And I'm simply saying, when Christ has taken up residence in you, when you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, His Spirit, Paul says it's four, he says it six times in Corinthians alone. Know ye not, he's talking to believers, know ye not that your body is the temple of the living God? His Spirit takes up residence in you, and He begins to enable you to love in a new fashion. You did know that one though, right, adults? You did know that was the first, because we could ask our kids to correct us on this, but the Holy Spirit of God will enable you in a new way to love and to have joy and to have peace and to have patience and gentleness. And I might be out of order here, but gentleness and faithfulness. And the Holy Spirit of God enables us with these fruits of the Spirit. And of course, there's a couple more. One of them is called self-control. But these are evidences of fruits of the Spirit. So you say, Jim, so what fruit am I going to bear? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Oh, yeah, that's easy, Jim. My neighbor's a good neighbor. I can love him or her real easily. Then Jesus said, take it a step further. Then love your enemies. That's a fruit of the Spirit. How am I doing at loving my enemy? And so you see, God enables us as you receive Christ as Lord and His Spirit endows you with a gift. He enables us to live in a manner that is different than it used to be and pleasing to Him. And these fruits of the Spirit, I just throw them out because those are evidences of God's residing in you. If I have no love, no joy, no peace, no patience, no self-control, no gentleness, no goodness, no faithfulness, then how evident is the Holy Spirit of God ever going to be in my life? Has He really been grafted into my life, as Jesus' analogy is in the vine and the branches? These are just evidences that the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in me. And they are different. The fruits of the Spirit are different than the gifts of the Spirit. We will look at the gifts of the Spirit later. And so let me move on because time is. And so we're not going to look any longer at fruits of the Spirit. We're going to look at these passages that we've been talking about here from John. I just want to reiterate today that we all have a spiritual gift if we've trusted the Lord. We all have fruit to produce and to bear at some degree. We'll not all be expected to do the same producing. We'll not all have the same gifts. We'll just not all be the same. But as followers of Christ, we are expected to produce fruit, regardless of age. Let me just leave it at that. You have heard of George Beverly Shea, have you not? You've heard of George Beverly Shea. George Beverly Shea, for those of you that have not, is a man. How many know, those of you that know him, how old is he right now? He's 103 years old, and he's still singing and making CDs for Jesus. This is just an example of the ability that God gives us when He blesses you with a gift. He's 103 and still making CDs of praise music to God. Marie Alley, who was just part of us for the last part of the Free Methodist Church here in Motley for nearly 60 years, was not blessed with earthly riches, but was blessed with a gift to give. Even though she had almost nothing, she gave and gave and gave. Even in her 90s, she was still giving. blankets to moms with new babies. Her sister, who died at the age of 94, at 92, Inez Alley was still leading second graders every Wednesday night at Awana at 92. And so I am simply saying, friends, here, that God has called His people to produce fruit of some kind at every age. But we will never produce fruit for the kingdom if we're not grafted in to the Son, in this case called the vine, better known as Jesus. We will never produce fruit until we have been grafted into the vine called Jesus. The only way we're going to be grafted into the vine called Jesus is by repenting of our sin and inviting Him to come into our lives and be Lord. Because we believe He's real. We believe He's the Savior, and we believe we need Him. That's the only way we're ever going to be grafted in and produce fruit, is if we're connected with Jesus. Now let me close with this. I got a lot more stuff here, but I just want to close with this because time is pretty well up. Jesus said quite clearly in these verses, I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And so He simply says, friends, if I am not bearing any kind of kingdom fruit for God, either I am not in Christ, or I do not care, and either one is a very, very dangerous proposition. And so He challenges His believers to produce fruit. Let me close with this. It is not God's will for Christ followers. I'm not trying to step on any toes here. I'm just stating what Jesus just stated. It is not God's will for Christ followers to sit around watching someone else do the kingdom work. Now, I said we don't all have the same gift. We're not all pastors. We're not all prayer warriors. We're not all... Some of you might be blessed with the gift of giving. But Jesus is reminding us here today, brothers and sisters, that if we have trusted Christ as Lord, His Spirit has given us a gift, and Jesus has reminded us again, we are pruned and massaged and loved and chastened and cared for by God the Father. Why? To produce fruit. And so that's why I simply say it's not God's will for His followers to lie around watching somebody else do the work of the kingdom. It's God's will for the body, all of us, to do the work of the kingdom, and you will see there are many, many, many different gifts that we get to in the next weeks. And here's what I'm going to close with. The reason I challenge you with this last statement, it's not God's will for followers to lie around watching, is this. Hear me on this, and we're going to close. There's way too much at stake in the expanse of eternity called hell. There's way too much at stake, my friends, for the body of Christ not to produce fruit. You with me? You still hearing me? God has blessed us with a gift to use. It may simply be loving our neighbors. It may be one of 100 things, but there's too much at stake for the body to not produce fruit, to not use our spiritual giftedness, because there's a world around every one of us that is watching the said believer to see what their life is like, to see if my life and yours is reflecting Jesus Christ or reflecting the world. And there's way too much at stake on Judgment Day for the body to sit around not producing fruit. That's why Jesus said we are to produce fruit. That's why we started with this as our foundation as we move into what gifts do we have. We'll talk about them at great length over the next several weeks. And so, friends, please don't think this passage is just for pastors. Please don't think this passage is just for Awana leaders or missionaries or evangelists. This passage is for people that have claimed Christ as Lord. This passage from Jesus is to spur us on, being led by His Spirit, being enabled by God Himself, being gifted by God Himself to do some things for the kingdom of God, to the glory of God. That's what this passage is for. And let me just say this. We'll never produce fruit. I've said it already, but we'll never produce fruit if we've not been grafted into the vine. Friends, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Lord, if you've never said, "Father, forgive me. I never knew what I had to do. Forgive me of my sin. I realize Jesus is real. I realize He's the Savior of the world. And I realize if I'm ever going to be part of heaven and ever going to be able to bear fruit for Him, I need to invite Jesus Christ into my life today." Maybe that's where you got to start. Friends, and if you're here today and you're not sure, you pray this with me. Great and mighty God, I love You. I need You. I repent of my sin and invite Christ into my life to be Lord. Take over my life, Jesus. Graft me into the vine. Make me new. Father, as we have worshiped You this morning, we're just standing here for a closing moment in awe of Your goodness. Your grace is willing to take us just as we are. Your grace, O God, is willing and inviting and saying, "Come. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Your grace says, "Come. My Son has died for you. His blood was shed for your sin, and I want you to be My child." And so, Father God, today, if there's somebody that's just not sure about that, and you're tapping on their heart, I pray that they would not only open up their heart to Jesus Christ as Lord, but to just take a moment to stop up here and pray with Pastor Les and just be encouraged. And for those, Father, that are Your children already and know it because they've trusted You, but haven't been bearing much fruit, Father, prune us. I know that may be unpleasant. That may be uncomfortable. That may be downright painful and heart-wrenching. But prune us, O God, that we, Your branches, we, Your people, would bear much fruit. Much fruit for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, for the unity of the church, for the strengthening of the body. Father, we invite You to prune us that we might bear fruit for You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.